We're waiting for the thumbs up. All right. Welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday, July 1st, 2026 meeting of the San Luis Obispo, South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Cassidy.
Here.
Director Karen Ray Russell.
Here.
Director Linda Austin.
Here.
Would you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Does anybody have any reason to reorder the agenda this evening?
Nope.
Then we'll proceed as published, and we'll go ahead and open up public comment. This is public comments on items not appearing on tonight's agenda. So if you would like to speak on any item within the jurisdiction of the sanitation district that is not on this evening's agenda, please come forward right now and keep your comments to 3 minutes or less. All right, then seeing no public comment, then we'll close that and we'll open up the consent agenda. This is approval of warrants, the approval of meeting minutes of May 6, 2026, and the approval of resolution 2026-471. Does anyone have any questions to ask of staff?
No.
All right, then we'll open up public comment on all the items, titling number 5.
I have a correction.
Yes, ma'am.
It is actually the approval of the minutes of June 1st, 2026.
June 1st, 2026.
So or June 3rd. June 3rd, 2026.
And seeing no public comment, we'll close public comment and bring it back to the board. Would someone like to make a motion for the consent agenda?
I'll move to approve the consent agenda with the correction of approval of meeting minutes of June 3rd, 2026.
Thank. I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries 3-0. That takes us to item 6A, recommendation of an award for WWTP Wastewater Treatment Plant Condition Assessment Services Contract with Carollo Engineers Incorporated.
Good evening, ladies of the board. Michael Jones, Plant Superintendent. The item before your board today is for the recommendation of award for the Wastewater Treatment Plant Condition Assessment Services Contract with Carollo Engineers. Staff's recommendation is that the board authorize the district administrator to execute a contract for engineering services for the wastewater treatment plant condition assessment project with Carollo Engineers Incorporated in the amount of $609,328, which includes an optional task that would not be performed without authorization from the district administrator, and authorize the district administrator to review and approve changes to the contract for up to 9.99% of the initial amount of, or $60,672 for a total potential amount of $670,000. Some background and discussion. In 2025, the district completed the wastewater treatment plant redundancy project, adding a fully redundant secondary treatment train to improve operational reliability, address water quality concerns, and incorporate flood protection measures. While this investment strengthened near-term resiliency and operational flexibility, it also required a coastal development permit issued by the California Coastal Commission, which identified long-term expansion of wastewater infrastructure at the current site as inconsistent with Coastal Act policies related to coastal hazards. As a result, the CDP establishes a regulatory context in which continued long-term investment at the existing location must be carefully evaluated alongside the potential for eventual relocation. To support this effort and to develop a comprehensive wastewater treatment plant capital improvements plan, the district is initiating a comprehensive long-term planning to better understand the condition, performance, and remaining useful life of the existing wastewater treatment plant facilities. Condition assessment will identify structural, mechanical, electrical, and process deficiencies and quantify the capital investments required over the short, medium, and long term to maintain reliable operations. This information will provide a clear basis for balancing continued investment at the existing site with longer term alternatives, including potential relocation, and will support informed strategic decision making to ensure reliable wastewater service while addressing regulatory, environmental, and infrastructure constraints. Ardura, formerly MKN and Associates, is acting as project manager for the district, leading procurement of the consulting team and supporting the district with project management services throughout this project. On April 6, 2026, the district issued a RFP for professional engineering services for the condition assessment. On May 20th, the district received one proposal from Corolla Engineers. Our Dura and district staff evaluated the proposal against the requirements of the RFP. The proposal was prepared well and documented a highly qualified team and thoughtful and well-developed project understanding and approach. The proposed scope of work was reviewed in detail to ensure project objectives would be met. Our Dura and district staff subsequently met with leads from Corolla's team to discuss and refine the project scope, fee, and schedule. The updated proposed scope of services is attached and generally consists of the following services. We have project management to maintain performance, schedule, and budget, conduct project status meetings and perform quality control reviews, data gathering and review, operation staff interviews, desktop condition assessment and development of a field condition assessment protocol, field condition assessment of above grade structures and equipment, including structural, mechanical, electrical, and instrumentation. We have in-depth condition assessment with a subconsultant on up to 4 structures with concrete testing and coatings testing and metals testing. Optional task for additional in-depth condition assessment for up to 1 day, assuming approximately half the scope for the original. Internal ocean outfall inspection by a subconsultant and a report. Asset management software evaluation and recommendations, including updated asset inventory provided in Excel format. Condition assessment reports, photos, and videos where applicable. 3 workshops with district staff to present preliminary findings, develop risk scoring, and present and discuss the draft plan. Draft and final plan with condition assessment results, identification of critical facilities and risks, recommendations to address issues identified, planning level cost, and schedule for maintenance of the facility through a 20-year planning horizon. The full scope of work, schedule, and fee are included as exhibits to the draft agreement. Some fiscal consideration: following negotiations of the project scope and fee, the proposed contract amount is $609,328, again, which includes an optional task for additional in-depth field condition assessment work. The optional task will only be performed with written authorization from the district administrator. A 9.9 contingency of $60,672 is recommended to provide the district administrator with the authority to approve additional work during the project. If warranted, the total potential project amount, including contingency, is $670,000. The fiscal year 2026-27 budget includes $570,000 in Fund 26 for the condition assessment and $100,000 in Fund 19 for ocean outfall maintenance. Staff recommends using these appropriated funds to support the total potential project cost of $670,000. And with that, that concludes my report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Board Member Alston, any questions?
No.
I have a couple. On the in-depth, it's about the in-depth condition assessment. Who's VNA?
They are an inspecting consultant.
So it's just literally called VNA?
VNA, yes.
Oh, okay. I'd never heard of them before. And then my question really is, what's the criteria for determining whether or not we're going to exercise this option to do this assessment? In other words, I guess what I'm really asking is, why wouldn't we?
So I think based on the field condition assessment, the engineers will come on site, do a field condition assessment, and then based on their recommendations, we'll either perform an in-depth. So if they come on site, hey, these, and it's more about identifying critical structures that need to be identified. Part of the scope, there's only a certain number of in-depth inspections that are going to be performed. So that field condition assessment will help us identify which 4 structures to do that in-depth. So we'll get more information, and then most likely we would proceed with that in-depth assessment.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, let's go ahead and open up public comment. So if you'd like to comment on item 6A, please come forward now and keep your comments to 3 minutes or less.
Good evening. Charles Barney from Oceano. This looks like a great one.
Hang on just a second.
We're on. Okay. Charles Barney from Oceano. I think this is a great project. I'm really glad to see you moving forward with it. It seems like this is really going to get you the information you need to make those critical decisions. I assume R&R means repair or renew, or what does it mean?
Typically restore and rehabilitate.
Okay, already. So I'm not sure about the wording was do a plan for maintaining the facility in excellent condition, a defensible plan for maintaining it, and then the cost and benefit of relocating the wastewater treatment plant in order to proactively respond. It sounds like that can do all of the stuff. I just wasn't sure about the word defensible. So maybe you could help me understand that. If it sounds a little bit like, well, we want to defend that we can just keep doing the facility, I don't know. Are the workshops open to the public, like the preliminary finding workshops? Will the report, says it's going to be finished by April. Is it really going to be ready to mail to the director of the Coastal Commission by May 10th? I'm just a little worried about that. And then is there going to be any public education about this other than the meeting tonight, or what the directors bring back to their constituencies?
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you. Okay, so there were four questions in there, and I don't know who wants to take those. Michael, do you want to try that, or?
Sure.
Okay, first one is, what do we mean by defensible?
I think ultimately is when we were developing the RFP, so we have, as part of our CDP, we have 10-year check-ins. And part of our CDP is to look at the cost of staying in our current location versus relocating. So it's essentially just looking at, okay, what are the actual costs to stay in our location versus, and defending those costs and having, I guess, adequate data to defend like the cost for staying in our existing location versus an actual cost for relocation. I believe that's what that's what that means.
Okay, great.
At the coastal check-in, was that the next one?
No, the I'm next sorry. One are the workshops open to the public.
I would say no to that. I mean, I'm happy to take a look and consider it. These are like technical evaluations of like engineering infrastructure. I'm not sure that the public would have meaningful engagement in those type of discussions, but if we wanted to summarize findings and come back to the board or even some of the other councils, we could have that type of outreach to explain what our findings were, but having the public participate in the workshops, I'm not aware that.
Yeah, is that akin to the TAC in terms of the water district? I mean, the adjudication that the public doesn't go to the TAC meetings either, the technical advisory committee? Okay. And is it really going to be ready by April? Emphasis added by me, not by the commenter. Or is it just by contract it's going to be ready by April?
I think the updated schedule has us completing in August. So in our scope negotiations, we added some additional work. And so that pushed us from that April date that's provided in the proposal. Further down in the staff report, you'll see the updated scope of work and updated schedule that puts us to August. And I do believe we should be completed by August.
Excellent. And will there be any public education about this?
Well, we'll be presenting it to the findings to the board in summary. And I'll go back because I want to clarify a point on the August. So we have a report due May 10th, 2027 to the Coastal Commission. And that's the 10-year check-in that we're referring to. And there's a process for requesting an extension on that. And we've done that for a few things. And the project didn't come online for many years after the initial CDP. And there's merit for why we would ask for an extension. But if we don't hit the May 10th date, we'll engage the executive director of the Coastal Commission, explain the reason, and we'll be most likely granted that extension to make the submission in August when the report's complete.
Given that we're doing such significant work towards
Correct, and this is a substantial work effort to contract and deliver, and so, yeah, I wouldn't expect any resistance from the coastal planning staff.
Great. Okay, so that answers the questions that came from the public. So any comments, or would someone like to make a motion? I do have comment, so.
You have a comment?
Yeah.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Okay, and I just wanted to say this is something that's been on our radar for a really long time. Some of us are a little more moving, charging forward than others, but thank you very much for bringing this forward, and this is going to give us, as you said, some very critical information that's for the really long-term planning, especially with regard to financing. So I'm very excited about this. So would someone like to make a motion?
I move that we accept the staff's recommendation to award the wastewater treatment plant condition assessment services contract with Corallo Engineers.
And then also number two, do you want to do that one too?
Number two, authorize the district administrator to review and approve changes to the contract for up to 9.99% or $60,672. Total potential amount of $670,000.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Cassidy?
Yes.
Director Karen Ray Russell?
Yes.
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. All right, we are moving on to item 6B. This is our public hearing and adoption of resolution 2026-470, approving the budget for fiscal year 26-27.
Good evening, Jeremy Gent. So the item before you is the final budget for fiscal year 26-27. Recommendation is that we open the public hearing to receive input on the proposed fiscal year 26-27 budget, receive and consider any public testimony regarding the proposed budget, close the public hearing following the conclusion of any public comment, incorporate any board-directed revisions into the final document, and then adopt resolution number 2026-470, thereby approving the district budget for fiscal year 26-27. And at this point, I'll turn it over to Ms. Simpson, and she can walk you through the budget.
Good evening, ladies of the board. This is your fiscal year 2026-27 budget. Tonight's recommendation is that we open the public hearing. We receive and consider public testimony. We close the public hearing, we incorporate any board-directed revisions into the final budget document, and we adopt resolution number 2026-470. This is your consolidated budget. This year, the district...
It's definitely consolidated.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very consolidated.
I know, I can't see anyway.
The total funding is anticipated at $16,735,345, and our total expense is also $16,735,345,000.
And I'm not sure we need to go through each one of those boxes this time since we did that last time, right?
Right.
Okay.
So our district cash and reserves in our operating fund, which is the operations and maintenance, we have $4,337,862. In our expansion fund, we have $9,815,599. In our capital replacement, we have $214,514. Our total cash balance is $14,367,975. Our minimum operating reserve as of June 30th, 2025 is $541,200, and available cash after the reserve is $13,826,775. These are the Fund 19 operating expenses that total the $8,885,345. Do you want me to skip going through all of these ones? Okay. Our staffing, this year we expect to have a total staffing of 11 people. The staffing structure ensures the district has the personnel necessary to maintain safe and effective operations, meet regulatory requirements, and support ongoing capital and maintenance projects. The laboratory manager position remains vacant currently, but funding is included in the budget to support filling the role. Fund 20 is our expansion fund. This fund receives revenue annually from connection fees. This fund supports capacity, expansion, and studies. This year we have one project potentially budgeted, and it's the cogeneration system. Our capital replacement and maintenance fund is Fund 26. We anticipate to spend $2,738,000. We have 8 projects in here: the Omiod filter replacement, the condition assessment, the digester number 1 cleaning and rehab, a lawnmower, the operator cart, a primary sludge pump number 3, the trunk sewer cleaning inspection, and 2 new work vehicles. The conclusion. The fiscal year 2026-27 budget successfully addresses all known district operation and maintenance requirements, preserves the district's reserve levels, and provides full funding for capital expenditures. That concludes my report.
Thank you very much. Let's see if we have questions. Any questions?
No questions?
I just have one. With regard to the CoGen project, when do we expect to have the update?
So currently, we remain in contract language negotiations, and we have sent Ms. Stockton and another gentleman with Jones Mayor had reviewed the document along with Michael and myself, and we've returned these comments to Southland, and they're working on updating costs because some of the comments that we made were going to affect the cost. The contract as presented from Southland had pushed the majority of any risk associated with cost or time overruns to the district. And so we identified that, and we weren't willing to go through the project holding all that risk, especially on a design build project like that. That's not typical. And so those are the type of comments that we sent back. And so they're material in the sense that they would have to add cost to be able to absorb that risk. And so we've requested both the updated cost and the updated evaluation for the payback, because we're up against time constraints, and the payback is very important to understand before we decide whether to move forward or this. So we don't have, they're shooting for the August meeting to have an update. They want to get going. They want to be under contract. So we would anticipate the August, but at this point we're not controlling their review and response to our comments.
So it could be as late as September?
Correct.
Got it. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. All right. Let's go ahead and open up public and public comment. And seeing no one here, we'll close public comment, bring it back to the board. Would someone like to make a comment or make a motion?
I'll move to adopt resolution number 2026-470, approving the budget for the fiscal year 26-27.
I'll second it.
All right. Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Cassidy?
Yes.
Director Karen Ray-Russen?
Yes.
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right. Zooming along to item 6C, adoption of a resolution granting COLA adjustments and modifications to benefits for non-represented employees.
Good evening. The item in front of us right now is the adoption of the resolution granting the cost of living adjustments and modifications of benefits for non-represented employees. That includes myself, Michael, and Amy. So the salary increase is a 4% increase to base salary, effective the first full pay period in July. The 4% cost increase for non-represented employees is estimated at $18,396 annually. These costs have been anticipated and were included in the 2026 budget, the previous item. And so we have sufficient funds budgeted to accommodate the planned increase. And that concludes my report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions? Questions?
When was the last time we did a COLA increase?
Last July. So okay. Currently we're under a 3-year with the SEIU employees. So they will get a COLA on July 1st as well. But the exempt and the management staff were continued to do annual adjustments. But
gotcha.
This is equal to the COLA that the bargaining unit staff are getting.
Okay, thank you.
All right, please don't take offense, Amy, but didn't we just adjust Amy's schedule just 2 months ago?
So yes, Amy's job class was changed just 2 months ago. And so this, and I can show you on the next slide, this 4% increase is across the board to for the July 1st. And this is in addition to the 8% that Amy got for redoing the job class from secretary bookkeeper to business analyst.
But didn't we also do a comparison study at that time?
We did comparisons to other salaries at the time, but I do believe most agencies are doing COLAs at the fiscal year. And so this would be consistent with COLAs for other people that had been reclassified. If I'm understanding,
I'm really uncomfortable with this one. No offense, Amy, but we just had a whole conversation about it. We went over 2 months worth, two meetings worth of having conversation about making that number right, and then just 2 months later, we're going to authorize going from instead of 8%, 12.
Yeah. So the previous effort was more of a merit increase for job duties, and it was not a cost of living based on inflation. I guess that's I'm certainly willing to go back and reconsider a way to phrase this or change it if the board wishes. But I do consider it separate, that the cost of living adjustments are separate from merit increases, and the union staff, they get these comparisons regularly, and so it had been a while since the secretary bookkeeper position had been looked at for doing the HR work and the financial stuff, and so that was the merit increase. But now we're at July 1st, and everybody's getting the 4% increase right now.
Okay, that's not really merit, though. I mean, you do a great job. No, I'm not. I don't mean that. That was a reclassification, not merit, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Well, let's open up public comment. And seeing no one here, let's come back to the board. So does anybody have comment or question?
I guess just to, I can understand what Mr. Gent is talking about, because the comparison for the last, I understand what you're saying, and I understand what you're saying is, I'm trying to find where's the middle ground, right? But because I understand the comparisons were based off of what was happening in time and place, not with COLA. But it is a significant increase. So I don't know, is there a middle ground where we can go to? Or also, really quick question, were you represented beforehand with the union, or was it you've always been in this category? Okay, all right, that was the other question that I had when we were talking about the representation and stuff. So I guess I understand both sides of this story.
I'll just say that was very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same here.
Okay. Yeah. All right, and maybe, yeah, I think that would have been helpful kind of to have beforehand, but that's my fault for not asking that beforehand, so there you go. But for the public, I think just in the staff report, that would have been good to separate those two things, because that looks like back-to-back things from the public's point of view. Okay, so would anyone like to make a motion?
Sure. I'll make a motion that we adopt a resolution granting cost of living adjustments, modifications, COLA, to benefits for non-represented employees. Adopt resolution number 2026472.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Cassidy?
Yes.
Director Karen Ray Russin?
Yes.
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I have done a really great job of making you feel uncomfortable at the last couple of meetings, right? I hope you know that's not personal. Okay. Item 6D, we have adoption of a resolution approving a publicly available pay schedule. I'm surprised we didn't have this already. As required by California CalPERS regulations, Exhibit A.
So yes, this is adoption of the resolution, and we're doing this because of the previous item. So the salaries have changed, and so we have to adopt a new salary schedule. And so these could be ran under the same item in the future, I think. So yeah, I'll go ahead and switch over here and you can see there's the list of the updated salaries. This is the 4% increase across the board. This is the document that gets submitted to CalPERS and keeps us in compliance with their rule. And so with that, that's the only explanation that's necessary here, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, I appreciate that. In my mind, we were doing this for the first time. Oh. So, wait, what? Okay, so just an update to our...
Correct.
Got it. All right, any other questions? All right, we'll open up public comment, and seeing no one, we'll close public comment, bring it back to the board. Again, would anyone like to make comment or motion?
I'll move to adopt a resolution approving a publicly available pay schedule as required by California Public Employees Retirement System CalPERS Regulations Exhibit A.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. We get, I think we can just do a voice vote, right? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries. All right, item 6E, district administrators and plant offer, that one. Can't get that word out.
Good evening, ladies of the board. Michael Jones, plant superintendent. The item before you I'm presenting is the plant operations report. During this reporting period, there were no violations. Plant data in the June 2026 table below shows all of our analysis values in, well, within permit limitations. Excuse me.
I'm buying you time right now, Michael.
Yes, thank you. Operations staff completed a multitude of maintenance tasks, and we also completed a multitude of work orders. Some training staff participated in was on our aeration blower preventative maintenance, exercising aeration basin diffusers, and training on the removal, replacement, cleaning, and calibration of our dissolved oxygen probe caps. We did have a couple call-outs this reporting period. On June 18th, we had a call-out at 5:21 p.m. for CCT PLC communication failure. Operations staff responded and acknowledged the alarm remotely via SCADA, contacted our integrator, AutoSys LLC, to assist in troubleshooting communication issues. We found a faulty backup power system and bypassed the system. System was back in normal operation following the bypass of the backup power system. The backup power source will remain bypassed until a new replacement has been installed. On June 22nd, we had a call out at 5:45 p.m. for a water champ fault. Operations staff responded and inspected the system. System faulted due to a power unbalance. AutoSys LLC mobilized to assist with troubleshooting and setting adjustments. System was placed back online following setting adjustments and has been running optimally. Moving on to some staff photos. In this first photo, we have operator Justin Music fabricating new light post brackets. In this next photo, we have operator Everardo Vargas and operations supervisor Mike Arias dismantling a primary sludge pump, dismantling primary sludge pump number two piping for inspection. And in this photo, we have operations supervisor Mike Arias cleaning sludge pump piping while operators Mario De Leon and Justin Music assemble the clean sludge pump piping. In this photo, is of myself and Montecito Sanitary District, Ardura and Southland, getting a 10-cent tour of the district's treatment facility. And in this final photo, we have operator Everardo Vargas and senior operator Christopher Rigoni performing preventative maintenance on our FFR supply fans. And with that, that concludes my portion of the plant operations report and able to answer any questions.
I want to know what the 20-cent tour looks like. And I also just want to make a comment that I love the pictures that we see when our guys are fabricating something, because this one's probably not a big one, but they've fabricated some big stuff in the past, and they're rock stars, so will you please pass them on from me?
Yes, will do.
Thank you. Sir?
Good evening. Few updates on my district administrator's report. I talked about some of them. On the cogeneration project, as I said, the contract language and legal review is ongoing. Southland's preparing revised costs based on contract language changes. Additionally, there was a hearing item that had been continued to this night for consideration of entering into that agreement. And I checked with legal counsel. We can't continue to advance the hearing to a date unknown, so we will have to reset and renotice the hearing. It's just 14 days in advance in a newspaper. It's pretty straightforward. So when we get those comments back and we want to consider it, we'll have to renotice. Some miscellaneous items. On June 11th, I met with Slo County Public Works Water Resources staff to discuss the county's potential future desal effort. The county has identified the SSLOCSD facility as a top candidate because of the potential for utilizing the district in Pismo's ocean outfall to dilute and dispose of the brine water created by the desalination process. A request was made by staff to the county to engage the district before naming our facility as a potential collaborator for any county project. And what I'm noting there is about a month ago, the county gave a presentation in Grover Beach where they had indicated that the South Slope Sanitation District was a premier spot for the desal intake and the desal discharge, but the county had never once engaged the sanitation district to make us aware that the presentation was happening or that our site had been identified. And so I just expressed some disappointment in past friendships and relationships and said, you guys still have my cell phone number, you can call me. So, and so we are gonna start engaging. They're on a 2042 timeframe is what their planning horizon is. And so that coincides somewhat well with our when we talk about 2047. So if you're looking for locations, we should probably be discussing co-location of a new facility. And so these talks will continue. And so I wanted to note the board that conversation is happening because the water issues here continue to be a challenge for our communities. So discussions continue to advance between the city of Arroyo Grande and Canyon Crest neighborhood. There was an item last week or the week before at AG City Council. And so SSLOC, we can provide the treatment and we've communicated that. And so what we're working toward is Arroyo Grande providing Arroyo Grande type wastewater services and the sanitation district providing sanitation district type services for those houses, even though they're not annexing into the city of Arroyo Grande. And that's what we're working toward.
The city council approved the pre-application.
Okay.
So they're going to go through the process now.
So yeah, they have some county work to do and LAFCO work to do. So there's still some things in front of them. And then additionally, in a similar effort, discussions continue to advance between Pacific Dunes Ranch. It's an RV park that's immediately south of the levee, somewhat adjacent to the wastewater treatment plant. So the applicant, LAFCO, the Regional Water Quality Control Board, and the sanitation district, we're looking at providing a treatment for the 215 RV sites, four cabins, and a clubhouse slash office over there. And they have a package plant. It's called an Aranco system over there, and it's basically failed, and they can't meet their discharge requirements, and they have a cease and desist order from the Regional Water Board. And so they're looking for a solution. And the regional board would like to see consolidation. So their recommendation is consolidation, but that's for us to decide. And so we're working with them to make sure that the district's taken on appropriate responsibilities. And we'll be sharing that with your board as they get closer, because they also have to go through the county entitlement process to see if they can develop the land that way. There were no plant tours. And some upcoming meetings. I do hope to get you a more formal update on August 5th regarding the Canyon Crest service request in rural AG. And then, as I noted, the revised cogeneration cost benefit analysis is TBD, but maybe August or September. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Any questions? All right, let me go back to my agenda. So that takes us to item 7, board member communications. Does anyone have communications to share?
No.
All right, then that takes us to item 8, adjournment. We'll see you all on August 5th. And this one's going to be, is it still here?
Here.
Okay, yep. Still here. I've got to get my adjunct duties straight. All right, we'll see you all in just over a month.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.